So in this episode today, I'm talking to Claire Smith. She's the head of senior school at Robert Gordon's College. I think you're going to love this episode. Let's dive into it right now.
Welcome back to I'd Rather Be at the Beach by Simon Jones, who runs the Bonjour Agency. If you work in an independent school, then this is the podcast for you, where we don't talk about work, but we do talk to people in the independent school sector. It's fun, it's fascinating, it's fabulous. So let's jump into it.
Claire, good evening. How are you today?
Hi, Simon. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good indeed, thanks. Very good. Welcome to I'd Rather Be at the Beach. It's great to have you here. It's great to talk to you, especially as we're recording this very late, actually. It was gone 6:30 in the evening, so I do appreciate you being here and giving up some of your time. Let's dive straight into this because I'm keen to explore this with you. For the sake of people listening to this, tell us what happened in your school in January 2023.
So in January 2023, we introduced a new mobile phone policy, which meant that we basically got rid of mobile phones for all of our young people. So that would be S1 to S6, ages roughly 12 to through to 18. We just got rid of mobile phones in that. They put them away, they switched them off, and they were told they weren't allowed them anymore.
This is different to a lot of schools because most schools do allow the pupils in school to use a mobile phone. Where did this idea come from originally?
Okay, so there are a number of schools who are doing it already, but essentially for us, it was a post-COVID reaction to just changes in behaviour. We were noticing, for example, teenagers constantly scrolling on their phones, teachers reporting that they were sort of vying with phones for attention, constantly asking pupils to put their phones away. I also had a lot of colleagues who were dealing with pastoral incidents related to mobile phones. So, you know, be it online bullying or accessing inappropriate content. And a lot of our time as senior leaders and as guidance staff was being taken up with phone-related issues. Sometimes things from out of school that were spilling into school, but sometimes things that were taking place during the school day. But for us, the main driver was the way we could see phones impacting on teaching and learning in the classroom. That was our main driver.
Right, right. Okay. So did you have situations then when you introduced this where maybe the pupils in school couldn't use their phones, but they're seeing the teachers using their phones and they're thinking, well, how come they're allowed to use theirs, but we can't use ours?
Yeah, although we did do a lot of groundwork before we brought it in. So it wasn't a case of the pupils came back to school and we just sprung it on them. So we spent a good couple of months engaging with parents. We did a parent survey. We engaged with staff. We explored what different methods might work. So we went through everything from let's buy those little phone pouches that lock them up every day or teachers take them off them. And actually in the end, we ended up just with the most simple policy possible, which was we don't want to see them. We don't want to hear them. Make sure they're switched off. But part of that conversation was with staff, was saying we need to model the behaviour we want to see. And so for that, we don't have a staff ban on phones, but we do ask staff not to be using them, you know, overtly. So I certainly wouldn't be expecting a teacher to be sitting in class using their mobile phone, for example. And yeah, young people are very good at picking up on things like that. So, you know, we did have one or two. Their immediate reaction was, well, does that mean the teachers can't do it as well? But most teachers are modelling that behaviour, as you would expect. And so, yeah, it's been a nice change across the board.
Tell me a bit more about that parent survey that you mentioned. What were some of the main concerns that parents came back with?
So some logistical things around travel to school, which just wasn't an issue because we said, well, they can have them while they travel. They just can't have them while they're in school. So that was fine. We actually didn't have a lot of concerns raised. You know, we've got over 1,000 pupils in the school. I think I had 7 responses. And even a few of those were to say, well done, this is long overdue.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, we did have a couple of parents say, you know, I like to be able to contact my child during the day. So we just went back and explained that, you know, you can still contact the school office in the old-fashioned way. So it's not as if we are keeping your child away from you. Really, most of the feedback we got was from parents verbally saying, we are really, really pleased that you've done this.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we hear a lot in the media about helicopter parenting and that kind of thing. And, you know, the ability to contact your children when they're in school is a classic example of helicopter parenting. But really what we're talking about here is parents not complaining about not having that ability to contact their children, in the main, not complaining at least. And it's, I mean, to me, that's quite encouraging because that flies in the face of what the media seems to be telling us.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of media attention today in particular. The UK government have announced new guidance for schools in England on mobile phones today. And there's a whole range of possibilities there from, you know, we'll be searching everyone's bag, we'll lock their phones up, to just exactly what we've done is just switch them off. We don't want to see them. We don't want to hear them. And what, certainly what I've found is that speaking to teachers in other schools and in my own school, we all see in front of us the impact that phones are having on young people. Parents see it as well. You know, we know, I'm a parent, I've got a teenager and an almost teenager. I see at home the impact of screens. I think most parents actually are delighted that there's a period within the day where someone else is saying to them, you're not allowed your phone, because it sort of takes the pressure off them as well. So that's certainly been our experience. You're right, there are some people who say, for example, let's teach them how to use their phones properly and responsibly, because that prepares them for the world that we have today. I think I used to be in that camp, but I'm not anymore. And I think the reason for that is that I just don't believe that teenagers have the, they're not developmentally at the stage where they can self-regulate. So they are addicted to their mobile phones, and we see that right in front of us. So that's why we've made the decision. I think the media angle does make it confusing. And certainly my advice, I've been contacted by people in other schools to say, right, how did you do this? How do we do it? My advice is just to be really big on the communication, explain the why. You know, I explained to all pupils, I had every year group in an assembly, and I explained to them why we were doing it, and that actually it was for them, it was for their good, it was so they could concentrate on their learning. And I think explaining the why does help, but the media frenzy around it certainly isn't helpful.
You've touched on something else there about preparing children in school for when they leave school for the outside world. How should SLTs in school, how should anyone who works in a school, anyone in a position of responsibility for children, how should they get that balance right between equipping and preparing children for the outside world, but also protecting them from the outside world and letting them be children for a little bit longer and not growing up too quickly?
I think you do it through your curriculum. So you embrace your digital technology. You don't need phones to do that. You explore AI, because that's a big talking point in education at the moment. Mm-hmm. You don't need phones to do that. The big one for us, you know, when it comes down to it, the most important thing we do in schools is safeguard children. And if children log on to school computers, there's firewalls, right? So they can't access certain content because we make sure it's a safe environment for them. Mm. If they come in with unlimited data on their mobile phones, we cannot safeguard them during the day. Mm. We don't know what they're accessing on their mobile phones. So actually for us, it does come down to as well, keeping them safe and doing as much as we can to provide that safe environment for them during the day. So you can absolutely prepare them for a digital world without allowing them full access to their phones.
Tell me about the positive response then, or the positive results that you saw in the children after you introduced this.
So I would say within 3 days, genuinely within 3 days, the place just felt calmer. And, you know, we're a school with, we are a school with good behaviour and fantastic pupils anyway, but it felt calmer. And what teachers were reporting to me was the changeover between lesson time. It went from pupils looking at their screens everywhere they went to...
And crashing into each other.
to that not being the case. We heard it in the playground. So the playground just became a playground again. So instead of people huddled around phones, what we were hearing was chat and laughter and games and just that sort of what we remember a playground being like, I suppose, as well. So those have been some of the positive things. I've had young people saying to me, don't ever ask me to say this publicly, but I'm really glad we don't have our phones in school, you know, because...
That's really sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes the pressure off. You know, they're not missing out on something if nobody can have their phone. So that's been really positive. For teachers in particular, there's just a feeling that, it comes back to that idea of we're not having to compete for their attention anymore.
Now, obvious question here, but what's to prevent one of your pupils from going into a bathroom and spending 15 minutes in there because they're on their phone?
Yeah, nothing. And actually at the start, you know, there were, a few people who were quite anxious about that. Oh, but what if they go into a toilet cubicle and use their phone? I said, and what if they do? You know, what are the problems that we are trying to address here? We are trying to make sure that they are concentrating in class, that this phones aren't impacting their learning. And we've achieved those things. Mm. And so actually, if somebody sneaks into the toilet to use their phone for 5 minutes, I'm not overly stressed about that, you know, but we're not going to start policing the toilets too. So I think it comes back to that. What is it we're trying to create? We're trying to create a sense of focus on teaching and learning, and for pupils to understand that actually they feel better if they go a while without their phones. The biggest test for that has been going on school trips. So pupils going away maybe for 5 days with no phone, and that's new for them.
As in not even taking the phone with them, do you mean?
Not even taking the phone with them. So we had sort of, certainly around our 12, 13-year-olds last year went on a range of trips, didn't take their phones with them. There was a little bit of anxiety around that. And their question was, but what on earth are we going to do? What will we do if we don't have our phones? So that was a good experiment. And it was lovely. And they enjoyed not having their phones. Yeah. And they actually said that to us at the end of the week. But they can't say, I think as adults, we are not very good at self-regulating our phone time and our screen time and our scrolling. Children are definitely not able to self-regulate that. So, I mean, the way I said to pupils when we did our assemblies, I said to them, I don't expect you to thank me now, but maybe in 10 years' time, when you look back on it, you will look back on it and think, well, actually, I'm glad you did that. I said, you can contact me and thank me then.
I'm glad that you mentioned about parents and adults in general and mobile phone usage, because, you know, I think we've all been in that situation where you've got a phone in your pocket, you're having a proper conversation with somebody, and then your phone is on silent, but it just vibrates. And even though you're not going to take it out and look at it straight away, you're thinking to yourself, who's it that sent me the message? What are they saying? Is it good news? Is it bad news? It's that little dopamine hit, really, isn't it, that we so often hear about. What do you think we as adults should be doing? This is nothing at all to do with school life now. What should we be doing regarding our own mobile phone usage? What have you learned yourself as an adult in the last 13 months on this?
So I have done a lot of reading around it, just in terms of that, you know, what is the research there around those notifications? And you're right, it's a dopamine hit. That's where your addictive traits come from with the phone. So there's lots of studies on that. There aren't any long-term studies yet on the effect of mobile phones. And for me in particular, it is the concentration span. I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed in adults and also in children, is the more that we are scrolling and constantly flicking from one thing to another thing, our concentration span is then deteriorating as well. And I've actually enjoyed doing quite a lot of reading around that. And that's probably been my biggest thing. But listen, I am not going to be preaching to other adults about what their phone use should be. I just feel really strongly that for young people, and I think the older they get, we're seeing our 17, 18-year-olds, they are better at self-regulating. But certainly when children are 11, 12, 13, they can't. They just can't. And, you know, the number of times they get themselves into online situations, and when you sit down and speak to them afterwards, they say, oh yeah, no, I know I shouldn't have done that. But they just could not help themselves getting involved in it. I do think there's a huge difference there between what children can self-regulate and what adults can. So, yes, I have learned a lot as an adult, but I certainly wouldn't be preaching to other adults about their phone use.
Claire, tell me something about leadership in school for a second, because an initiative like this, you didn't need to introduce it, and it could have gone wrong. You could have got a lot of pushback from parents. You could have had parents revolting over this and saying, well, we don't want to pay school fees if we're going to be told what our children can and can't do. You know, I'm paying these fees, therefore I want to make these decisions myself. You could have had a lot of negative pushback from students and staff in school. But, you know, I guess looking back, it's easy to look back and say that was the right thing to do. But how did you feel at the time, just before you actually introduced all of this?
Really nervous at the time. I'll be honest, if we had started our stakeholder engagement and found that there wasn't support amongst the staff for it, it wouldn't have gone anywhere, because it's the kind of policy that just you can't enforce it. You know, I as one person or us as a senior leadership team, we can't enforce a policy like that across the school. It needs every single individual to be on board with it. And I think once we realised we had that collective will to address it, that's when I felt, okay, well, maybe we can actually achieve this. Because the biggest fear for anyone, I suppose, is introducing something that falls flat on its face. And I suppose we did a lot of groundwork to make sure that that wouldn't happen. If I'd had more pushback from parents, we would have had to consider that, you know, and looked at all the individual pieces. And we certainly did, you know, as I say, when we started this, I think I was of a view that we were going to be taking phones in from pupils every day. And it was actually staff who came back to us and said that practically is not going to work for lots of reasons. And so we listened to that and we adapted the policy. So I think without that engagement, you couldn't just announce it. You know, as a school leader, you couldn't just turn around and say, oh, I quite like this as a policy. We're going to do this. You couldn't do that, or it would be inadvisable to do that. I think once you've done your consultation, then, and you've got that backing behind you, and you've got very clear process. And what we did as a senior leadership team, where we were front and center, you know, for 3 days, I sort of cleared my diary and said, this is what we are going to do, is we're going to lead on this policy. And that was appreciated by staff, but we couldn't manage it. It would not be a policy if staff weren't actually enforcing it. So that's why it's been so successful, really. I would say it's the one thing that as a senior leader, I have not consulted pupils about. Always ask
Really?
pupils what they think. Yeah, always ask them what they think. If there's new things in school or we want their opinions, we want their feedback. On this one, I knew what they thought. I knew they would think it wasn't necessary, but there was still this feeling that we were doing the right thing for them. And I suppose when at the end of the day, you know, they're the children, we're the adults, and sometimes we do have to make those decisions. And as I say now, I think if you were to ask them now, they can see the benefits of it now, whereas they wouldn't have before we introduced it.
I remember on a similar kind of note, Henry Ford one time said that he doesn't run, or that he didn't run focus groups at all, because if he'd asked people what they wanted, they would have said they wanted a faster horse. They wouldn't have said they wanted a car. Ironically, somewhat, I think Steve Jobs said the same thing about the iPad. He didn't run focus groups because people wouldn't have said they wanted an iPad. And actually, it turned out that they did. But that's kind of flying in the face of what we're talking about right here. Claire, I'm conscious of time here, but there's something else I'm dying to ask you. Some of the people listening to this are people who work in marketing. They're responsible for the marketing in their independent school. Now, I realize that you didn't introduce this with a marketing objective. It was all to do with the welfare of children. But some marketing people might be thinking, oh, you know, this could be an opportunity for us to do something to demonstrate to parents for the future that we're going to be, you know, I don't mean trying to cash in on looking after the welfare of children, but, you know, seeing it as a marketing plus at least. What would you say to marketing people who are listening to this right now?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely been the case for us. We did not introduce it for any kind of brownie points or for marketing purposes, but what we have found is that with prospective parents coming in, they are delighted when they find out that we have the policy in place. Like, genuinely delighted. The feedback has been really positive on that front. We've actually done it as part of a wider sort of behaviour curriculum, so where we've refreshed our school rules and we've had a lot of chat around, you know, this is how we behave at Gordon's, and that's been really positive as well. And I think as part of that, you know, at the end of the day, what do parents want? They want to send their children to an environment where they're going to be safe, they're going to learn, and they're going to be happy. And that is ultimately what it is that we're trying to create. So yeah, from a marketing point of view, it is a winner. It shouldn't be the why, though. You know, it can't be the reason. That's not going to work. And I think there's a lot of schools as well who say that they have a no mobile phone policy, and actually it's not enforced. You know, it's the worst thing with school rules. So many schools have rules that nobody ever enforces, you know, so what's the point in it being a rule sort of thing? So yeah, I think if it works well and it's worked for your context, then it's definitely something to shout about, because there are parents out there who are looking for it.
No, I love that. I really do. And of course, you work with children. You mentioned that you have your own children. Last question, what do you do for time out to get away from children?
Don't have much time out at this stage in my life. What do I do for my time out? I love to read. That's probably my main thing, is reading. I do love a podcast, spending time with my family. But those are my main, in my limited downtime, those are the things that I'd like to do.
That's good. Well, you know, giving you time out, I should leave you to enjoy an evening, at least on a Monday evening. Claire, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being on I'd Rather Be at the Beach.
Oh, thank you, Simon. It's been great.
So you've just reached the end of this episode. If you would like to have a podcast in your school for your own school marketing, then zip on over to www.thebonjouragency.com. We get your school podcast up and running and we keep it going for consistent episodes coming out regularly. But if you don't want a podcast, then you're still welcome here at I'd Rather Be at the Beach because we're just like a big family here. Anyway, the next episode's coming out soon, so click that option to follow or subscribe. It just means that you won't miss it. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.